Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Roadwork ahead? Theo begins with a big, dumb grin on his face. I can see the whites of his teeth in the corner of my eye. Don't say it, bro. I interrupt with a mutter, fingers flexing on the steering wheel. You don't need to say it. Yeah, I sure hope it does, he finishes, chortling to himself as I swear under my breath. I've always hated that stupid vine. How are we doing on the time? I ask him, changing the subject. He checks his watch, his phone, and the car's clock. All in sync, dude. 2:17 a.m. We've got 5 minutes. Perfect, I respond, as we drive down the length of a dark and empty highway. We're actually going to make it this time. Have we got far to go? No, I tell him, just a bit further on. It's hard to see, but there's a load of hills just ahead to the right. That's where we're going. Right, he responds, settling back into his seat. The highway stretches through a long, dark section of country. There aren't many trees, but the cornfields grow high, and they'll taper off soon as the hills rise. There's a subtle turn off from the highway coming up, and it leads through these hills. That's where we're headed. You have to time it just right, though, if you want to play the roadworks game. The clock ticks. 2:18 a.m. Damn, we're actually gonna make it, I reply. Are you nervous, man? Nervous? Theo laughs. Nothing's gonna happen, Dara. It is, I'm telling you, it's been done before, I reply as we race through the night, the engine a subtle backing track. Yeah, we'll see about that. The corn and the hills roll on by. The time ticks on. I shift in my seat. My throat has gone dry, and though Theo refuses to admit it, he is anxious too. The atmosphere in the vehicle has changed. We're here, I murmur, slowing the car right down as the clock ticks over to 2:21. Turn right, then you have reached your destination, the voice of the GPS announces. I do so, bringing the wheel around in an arc and turning off from the highway. I wind the car between the hills that rise up all around us. And at last, just as the clock hits 2:22, we come to a stop at a traffic light. It has the appearance of being a temporary installment, but I've never known it not to be here. It is accompanied by a rusted yellow sign with a KS Construction logo printed in small letters on the top left. In the sign's center, it reads simply, Roadworks. The traffic light's glow is red. It highlights our faces in its crimson glow. Nothing's happening, Theo mutters. Did we get the timings wrong? A part of me is disappointed, but I find that a much greater part of me is relieved. Perhaps this was a dumb idea anyway. And then, as if in response to this thought, the traffic light does something that I've never seen it do before. Ever. It changes to yellow, illuminating the road beneath it in bright amber, and my adrenaline surges. Damn, Theo blurts out. He tries to say something, but stumbles over his words. I do not speak. I know how to begin the game, and it's really very simple. I slam my foot down on the accelerator, and the car lurches back into life. The vehicle leaps forward, and I wind it around the traffic light and down through the hills. The time ticks to 2:23. We meander left and right, passing between the hills of various heights and sizes, as I expected, of course. But then the landscape changes. Instead of coming out the hills and being led onto a parallel highway, as geography would expect, we are instead met with a vast, flat landscape as the hills pull back. It is a moonless night, and our only source of light comes from the beams of the car itself. Ahead is the road, and to either side are grim and empty fields, sparse pieces of rotted fence, dead crops, all fading away into the void at the light's edge, the total and surrounding darkness of the night. My heart pounds. "Jesus," Theo says. "Oh God, this is real. It's real. We're playing. We're actually playing." "Of course we are," I reply. "I told you so. Remind me how it works again." His voice is tipped with fear now. I can hear it. "The rules. What do we win?" "They say that the game gives you what you need the most." "Great," he forces out a weak laugh. "PlayStation 5 it is then." "Yeah, maybe," I reply, deadpan. "If we win." "What do you want?" "It's what you need, not what you want, Theo." "Fine, what do you need?" I consider. "I don't know, man. A new family would be a good start. A new life." Theo does not respond directly to this. We've talked about it before. Instead, he changes the subject. "You said, if we win. If. So, how do we lose?" I don't reply. I just grip the wheel a little tighter. "We just have to stay on the road till the end," I say eventually. "That's the rule of the game. Don't leave the road. Follow the road till the end." "Till the end," he repeats. And we are quiet for a while after that. Driving steadily through the wastes and the shadow. The tension rises until Theo can take it no longer. "Let's put some tunes on," he says, tapping play on his phone, still augsed. "What the hell?" I ask him as the intro to Toto's Africa starts blaring obnoxiously from the speakers. "Bro, turn that off." "Why?" he asks, holding his phone away out of reach. "It's a banger." He starts humming along to the opening beat. "Theo, turn it off." I reach out again. I try to grab his phone. "Why? It's not against the rules, is it?" He starts to sing along. I look down to the orgs and pull it from the plug. And in that second, the split second that I have my eyes away from the road, the car drifts ever so slightly, and with a loud and sickening crunch, it lurches up and then back down with a thud. "Christ!" Theo shouts as we are slammed up and down in our seats. Panicked, I swing around the steering wheel and press a foot down on the brake, and the tires screech as the car comes to a quick stop, still on the road, but now at a slight angle. We turn to look through the rear window. My pulse is racing. Theo is grabbing my shoulder. "Dara, you hit something. Oh God, oh God. What was it? Is it moving?" I squint. "It wasn't a person, was it? Did you see any movement?" "No, but, I mean, it was dark, so you were distracting me." "Me? What the hell, dude?" But our fight comes to a quick halt as a beep bids us turn swiftly around. The GPS has begun to glitch and blink. Its pleasant white glow screen now shines in a sinister warning red. Black text appears across the ruby screen. "Follow the road." We stare at this text, Theo and I, and then Theo glances back over his shoulder. His eyes widen. "Bro," he mutters. "It's gone." I turn around to look, and sure enough, the large, dark shape that we hit in the road has vanished. "I think we need to keep driving, now," Theo says, as a creeping, lurking terror begins to slink into my mind. I don't respond. I don't need to. I just sit back in my seat, push down the handbrake, and drive us off. Quicker this time than I was driving before. The GPS remains unchanged, black text on the red background. The car sails through the night. "Was that part of the game?" I ask Theo. "Do you think..." "I don't know, dude. You know more about this game than me. It just disappeared. It must have been alive." "Well, if it moved, then it must be fine, right? It wouldn't be a person. What would a person be doing on foot, way out here?" "Well, if it wasn't a person, Then what was it? Theo had no response. My hands are clammy with sweat now. I wipe them one at a time on the side of my jeans. Dude, Theo murmurs. There's something in the fields. What do you mean? Look, he says quietly. And I do, peering to my left, then to my right. I cannot help but catch glimpses of rustling in the long grasses. The headlights catch curious little shadows darting between the broke fence posts. But every time I try to look directly at one, it has already disappeared. More and more of this rustling takes place around us. Shivering grass, small little shadows, dozens, then hundreds. I put my foot down on the accelerator and the car picks up speed. Maybe we should turn back, Leo asks out loud. Then, we should turn back. Bro, we should turn the hell back. No, I reply, determined. We committed. We have to see the road through till the end. That's the rules. The quivering little shapes in the grasses fall back and away. The lights of the car catch on a person standing a little ways out in the field to our left. Damn, Theo shouts. And I stare in alarm at this mystery person, standing alone by the road with her arms outstretched. But no, this is no living person. As they draw closer, it becomes apparent that it's only a scarecrow. Its sack straw head lolls to one side. Its ragged clothes flutter very lightly in the breeze. It whizzes by. A second scarecrow appears on the same side of the road, a little further back into the field. It too whizzes by. Then there is a third, this one standing right by the road in the field. Far behind it, and only barely visible in the edges of the headlights and shrouded in shadow, is a fourth. They are coming faster. More and more, all over on both sides. Scarecrows, silent and watching. Straw sentinels that guard the road and the fields. Theo has begun to mutter under his breath. Why are you like this, man? He asks. Why do I let you talk me into dumb stuff like this? You're so reckless. This was short-sighted as hell. I laugh at his use of language. Short-sighted? Short-sighted? Says you, man. Since when have you ever thought more than a week ahead about anything in your life? I don't know what you're talking about, dude. You got your stomach checked out yet? You've been complaining about it for like a month. That's totally not relevant. What about your exams? You started revising for your finals yet? Sure I have, liar. The fields are full of scarecrows now, each maybe only a few feet apart from the exit. Like an army, standing in various frozen poses, disappearing into the void. We just have to stay in the road, I say through gritted teeth. Easy. The scarecrows start thinning out. They become fewer and fewer, until once again the fields are barren and empty. They remain empty for some time. About an hour by my count. A long, long hour of driving. A thought occurs to me. I'm sure it has occurred to Theo too, but neither of us dare say it out loud. What if the road doesn't end? I try not to think about it. There are occasional bumps and cracks in the brick of the road, but it's otherwise quite smooth, and always in a straight line too. There are no turns here, just constant, endless road. Theo drums his hands on his leg. His fingers illuminate red by the glow of the GPS. Do you really think I'm short-sighted? He asks for a while. Well, yeah, a little bit. Sorry. He says nothing at first. Then, there's something else out there, dude. Where? Over to the right. Look. I glance over, and sure enough, I think he's right. It's difficult to tell since it's so dark, but the edges of some piece of what looks like massive machinery are caught in the headlight's outer glow, way out into the field. What is it? Some farm thing? Could be a tractor, I guess. But as we make these guesses, to my utter horror, the tractor starts to unfold. Go, Theo shouts. Oh God. Oh God. I do so, but I can't stop staring at it, at the massive machine in the distance, in the dark. It's much bigger than I'd first thought, too. Its clanks and grinds echo out over the field towards us, and then it disappears behind us into the dark. For a tense few seconds, we wait, jaws clenched. And then, the machine reappears. It approaches. I catch sight of it in the mirror. It is unfolded into the form of a monstrous metal man. Bolts and nuts fall from its joints as it runs after the vehicle. It is easily 3 times my height, perhaps bigger. It roars a terrible, oily mechanical sound, and it reaches out an arm towards us. Damn, Theo screams. Dara, go, just go. My knuckles turn white against the wheel as I go flat out, but my beat-up car struggles to accelerate. 2 blazing orange lights flicker into life in the machine man's head. 2 angry, watchful eyes, staring right at us. Its iron jaw unhinges and monstrous metallic bellow thunders out. It's catching up, dude, Theo shouts, swiveling around and round in his chair. I know, I reply, eyes darting between the road and the rearview mirror. The machine man grips an axe in 2 iron hands, and it's a heavy-looking thing, comprised entirely of cold grey and rusted brown, with a massive sharp blade at one end. The monster roars as it raises the axe. I drag the wheel to the left, keeping us narrowly on the road but away from the centre, and slam down on the brake. The axe slams down hard on the road just ahead of us as the machine man stumbles. He turns his great head to look through the window in rage. Go, 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 go! I hit the accelerator. The engine whistles and grinds in frustration as smoke blasts from the pipe. But they pale in comparison to the roars of the monstrous machine. It does not follow us, however. I don't think it can. It struggles to dislodge the axe from where it struck the road, and it disappears gradually into the distance behind us. When it is nothing more than 2 pinpricks of orange light, I finally allow myself to breathe and wipe a quick hand across my sweat-soaked forehead. Theo runs his hands through his hair, then holds one out in front of him. It is shaking violently. I guess we're not turning around then, he mutters. Don't want to meet that guy again. I told you, dude, we can't turn around. We have to make it to the end of the road. Sure, he says. So, the drive goes on.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Who do you think made this game? He asks. I have no idea, honestly. Who even could? Right? It's all screwed up. The whole thing is insane. I managed to get some footage of the machine man, you know, on my phone. It looks crap, but might be worth a watch later. Nice, I tell him. Yeah. You sure you don't just want to go home, Dara? We make it to the end. He hesitates. Okay. The fields are not quite so empty now. No more scarecrows, but instead stand ruined remains of buildings. We pass by a lone telegraph pole, made of curious, dark stained green wood. It is cracked and does not appear to be connected to anything else. The fences here too are that same colour. Dank, rotted, murky green. And clustered around these ruined remains are remains of a different kind. Carcasses of great beasts cows, I suppose, but they have been torn essentially beyond recognition. Massive, gore-streaked rib cages rises up from corpses in the dark all around. Stay cool, I mutter. We got this. Our thoughts are interrupted by the sound of a roaring in the distance. Less mechanical this time, more animalistic. We brace, but nothing further happens for the next 10 minutes. We are primed, muscles aching from the unconscious tension. It is excruciating, this pressure, waiting for the next horror. And at last, it's almost a relief when we finally see its source. Almost. Atop a ruined barn. I think it is a statue at first, until the creature moves. It lifts its head and opens wide its jaws and releases another of those blood-freezing roars. Its skin is black, a monstrous prehistoric cat-looking creature with a shaggy black mane and two tiny green eyes, shining with malice in the night. It leaps from the barn roof and begins bounding right for us down the road. "Watch out, Dara," Theo shouts. I panic and attempt a similar maneuver to my previous one, though this time I don't bring the car to a stop. The great cat skids past and growls, swiping at the vehicle, and its claws go right through Theo's side door. Three huge, great scratch marks streak down just inches from the guy, and he flinches in terror. The creature's green eyes vanish temporarily into the dark before it begins bounding after us yet again, keeping pace, saliva spilling from its jaws. I cannot go any faster. The car is flat out. The lion-like monster leaps from the road and grabs onto the back of the car. We feel its weight and the car judders and groans in complaint. I start swinging the wheel from left to right as fast as I can, whilst also keeping the car on the road. The creature's snarling face takes up the entire back window. I can hear the metal scream as its claws are dug deeper in. But at last, the creature is thrown free and it spins away, roaring, vanishing into the long grasses to the side of the road, and we don't stick around to see if it will return. The broken buildings and structures in the fields are numerous now. They are all over the place, surrounding us, all ruined. There are water towers and heaps of run-down ancient machinery, all that same shade of rusty, murky green. A road sign, the first that we have seen since beginning the game, whizzes past us. It is rusty green, with a faded white border. "City Limit," it reads. "I don't know if I can take much more of this," Theo mutters. "Dara, maybe there's a way you can go home you don't know about. Do we have to make it to the end of the road? We've been driving for hours, dude. What if the road doesn't end?" He looks to the GPS, still a bright and ruby red. "Maybe there's something here we can use. I told you, man, to the end. I'm not quitting. I doubt we even could if we wanted to." "For goodness sake, you're playing with our lives, Dara." Theo is suddenly angry. "You complain all the time about how bad your life supposedly is. You ever consider the fact that the problem might be you?" I splutter with indignation, but our argument is interrupted by the sudden, terrifying sound of something wet smacking onto the windscreen. Red gore splashes across the glass, and I put the wipers on, horrified as the redness is smeared across my field of vision. "What the hell was that?" Theo asks quietly. He leans forwards and looks up. "Hey, there's something." He jumps back on instinct as a large, pink glob of human flesh splats sickening against the screen. I stare at it in horror. Mashed slightly and leaking ooze, it is still nonetheless perfectly recognizable. It can be nothing other than a human brain. It clings to the glass before sliding off and disappearing into the dark. Flecks of fleshy rain splatter down, and with a pint or two of blood, a heart is what hits us next. It smacks onto the glass and bounces away, and what follows causes me such fright that I feel like I'm going to pass out. An entire human spine, clotted with blood and flesh, smacks hard into the glass and cracks it. the impact cracks spread out over almost half of the windscreen, and the spine slips down the front of the car and is crunched beneath the wheels. This is hell. It must be. Some terrible, godforsaken nightmare land. But the feelings are all too real. My surroundings, the sounds and the sights, it is all terrifyingly real. Ahead, directly above the road and beneath an enormous wooden green arch, an inhuman face flickers into view. It stares down at us, moving like a hologram and keeping pace with the car. It grins, stretching its cracked and ghostly lips to reveal a shimmering smile with layers upon layers of teeth concealed within. A human stomach smacks against the glass and explodes, bursting and leaking on Theo's side of the window. "Welcome," booms the voice of the great and terrible face. "What do you need?" And the answer, to me, becomes painfully, blindingly clear. "Home," I scream. "Just let us go the hell home." Theo has begun tapping and shaking the GPS. He presses a shaking thumb against the screen, and the text on the red screen disappears. It is replaced, quite simply, with a home icon. A little picture of a house. He presses it about 20 times in the space of 3 seconds, and the great face above us begins to laugh. A great barreling cyclone of air races down the road towards us. And there is no escape. And in a second, we will be enveloped. This is the end, I guess. I scream and swear, and against my better instincts, I lift my hands from the wheel to defend my face as the world beyond is lost to sight in the torrents of wind. For a while, there is only screaming. And then, gradually, we calm down. We haven't died, at least. I daren't open my eyes just yet. I daren't. But a low level of light registers through my closed eyelids, and cautiously, I open them up. I return my trembling hands to the wheel as the car chunders to a gentle, casual stop. The sun has begun to rise, and a flock of birds fly across the deep blue, ever so slightly lightening sky just ahead. We are on the opposite side of the highway. I swivel in my seat. Behind us is a meandering path through the hills. "Theo? Theo, open your eyes, bro." He does so, through gritted teeth, and then he too takes in his surroundings. There is peace. Theo crosses himself, something I've never seen him do before, ever, and he shoots a quick glance behind us. He swallows. I think I'd like to go home now, dude. "Yeah," I reply, as my wing mirror falls from the car and hits the road with a clank. "Yeah, I think that's a good idea." So I put the car into drive, and we begin a very slow and very steady ride back home. Theo ended up getting his stomach checked out. He didn't give me the gross details, but he assures me that everything is fine now. He just said, "It's a good job I went when I did. Could have gotten much worse." And I realized something too. Honestly, my life ain't all that bad. Maybe not being a miserable guy all the time is a good place to start. I won't be attempting any further playthroughs of the Roadworks game. After all, there's really no place like home.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: Startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.